You're listening to The Green Thumbs Up, brought to you by Miniquip Hire, WA's leading machinery hire company, supporting the Landscape Industries Association, WA.
Welcome to the Green Thumbs Up podcast, the podcast for landscapers by landscapers. Proudly brought to you by Miniquip Hire, Bailey's Fertilisers and Domus Nurseries. And here we have Kieran Kelly hosting and Drew Mimmo from O2 Plant Walls.
Welcome, Ben. How are you?
Good, mate.
And welcome, Drew.
Hi. Thanks Great. For having me.
So thanks for coming in, Drew. So O2, just maybe explain what you do, plant walls. It's yeah, obviously vertical gardens.
Vertical gardens we focus on, specialise in the... Yeah, interior plantscapes we do quite a bit of as well, or custom made for interior fit outs.
So that's indoor plants, Drew?
Mainly indoor plants. Yep. We do a lot of outdoor vertical gardens, right? Walls, but a lot of the work we do is based around tropicals.
Right.
We've done quite a few succulent walls.
Yep.
We use a module system for that, which is something that we've.
You've developed yourself. Yeah. Maybe before we get into that, Drew, maybe let's step a couple of paces back and start from the very beginning, because you're from the other side of the country, Victoria. Yeah. So yeah, maybe and you've come over to the west, thinking, "Yes, I'll come over here to where all the sun is."
Karen. But we'll edit that out.
Maybe just give us a little bit of background on yourself. How you first got into horticulture?
Yeah, the old man had a farm, big farm. And I just got in. He had just a huge veggie patch, and I used to just get stuck into it. You know, like 5-6 years old, loved it. But he was more agriculture.
Yep.
He had a stock feed company. Yeah, and I don't know. So the garden that surrounded the house was always did my head in. I used to hate it, and so I used to just move things around and
right. So
pretty young, yeah. I don't know.
At a young age, you showed a bit of interest. So, did you do an apprenticeship in Melbourne?
Yeah. So yep. I worked with Phil Merritt. Yeah. We predominantly our designs were Rick Eckersley, amazing designer. Phil, being just old school tradesman, just yep. yeah.
Like, so it was a landscape apprenticeship only, you were doing.
Yeah. yeah so yep. did that, and then whilst I was doing that, I studied
horticulture at the same time.
Horticulture at Burnley, right. yeah.
So. And that was a 4-year apprenticeship, was it, or traineeship?
Yeah. Yep.
And then out on your own after that?
I worked with them for a while. Then I went and worked with a couple other mobs. I didn't really work for myself for quite some time.
Yep.
Pretty much mainly in WA.
Right. When I
sort of started working for myself.
Right.
Which, tough going.
Yeah. So now we're onto the vertical walls now, because you're specialising in those. And in Perth, I think there's only really maybe 3 or 4 people that actually do this at a regular basis, so to speak. I know quite a few people have a go at it, but there's probably been a few failures. So
it's expensive to stuff up.
Yeah.
So I learned the hard way there.
Yeah.
But it's just persistence.
Yeah.
And then you learn a lot as you go, sort of. Lighting, water, what grows where,
yep.
and I've developed a system based on about 5 or 6 different other systems.
Right. So you've got your own, system, and is that a plastic modular type system?
No. So
maybe give us a bit of a background of
without giving
away the trade secrets. No. So.
I mean, anyone can put it together.
Yeah.
It just comes down to the science of it, which is the horticultural background. So So pretty much we're about 25 mil off the wall.
Right.
Off the substructure. And then, which is a breeding space, so we don't, cause any mould or...
Right, on the building itself.
Yep.
Yep.
Then we've just got, waterproof sheeting. We use a hydroponic foam and a regen felt. And then, we take probably about 60% of the soil off the roots. This system's been used over in Europe. They do it slightly different. So, yeah, we do that, then we staple the plants into the wall. So, yeah, we started with, baskets that just hung on the wall.
Right.
But But using that as a soil base, you get compression, and then you lose your plants because the water pushes all the soil down. And then, so, yeah, that system didn't really work.
That's the sort of system that you could buy off the shelf from a lot of places around that as a basket type thing.
Yeah, so...
If we go back into, you know, if we're talking to home buyers or, you know... general public who are wanting a few
And when you look at it, it's bizarre. Like, you look at the actual square meterage of the pricing, and it's not that far off getting it professionally done. It's, you know, by the time you add up all the bits and pieces, even the ones online, it's, it gets quite expensive. Yeah. Mm.
So when you first start, Drew, do you need to obviously have a look at the structure that you're putting it on?
Absolutely.
And is it worth, you know, is it going to hold the weight that you're going to put up
there? Major point. And so we've got to allow about 30 kilo wet weight per square metre, which is considerably lighter than a soil-based module, but much lighter. I mean, that's with a massive safety factor in it.
So maybe can you talk us through the process of what you go through from beginning to end and how you're recycling the water? Do you recycle the water?
Recirculate, and we use an organic nutrient. You know, so I tried all the NPKs, and it just, I don't know, because we our tanks are aluminium, get that. Chews away at the alley.
Right.
And not only that, then you've got pH, EC, you know, there's dramas there.
Yeah.
So that's intense.
So the aluminium tank obviously sits at the bottom of your garden wall?
It depends. So we customise every single job.
Okay.
So basically we catch the water, whether it be directly into a water tank or whether it catches in a gutter, runs, you know, 20 metres to a holding tank.
Right.
You know, and then we've got pumps. Yeah, it's full on.
So would you describe it, and it's not probably quite true, but it's sort of a hydroponic setup?
Yeah,
in a way,
I mean, fair enough, we've got a little bit of soil on the plant.
Yeah,
But what happens is over time, because we're growing cyathia, I've got frangipanis, I've got, you know, all grown within 25 mil backing board. Yep,
right.
And these are trees.
Yep.
So the cyathia we've got at one of our installations, the 3 meter fronds,
okay,
by 1 meter wide,
right?
Trunks that are, it's just awesome. Yeah.
And you've only just got a minimal space behind
the roots grow through, they grow through and they're across the whole wall, So they're not limited to a pod,
right?
Yeah, so fair enough, there's some mobs that do the pod systems and they use smaller plants and they look fantastic, but you're limited. In terms of, you know, you can only
what you can put in there.
Yeah, so I just like to design completely as natural as possible.
Yep.
In terms of try and make it look like a rock face.
Yeah. Almost, you know? So some of your installations, Drew, what sort of sizes would they be?
Our biggest one so far is the Western Power Atrium.
Where's it? In West Perth?
That's in on Wellington Street.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's. Probably about maybe 4 meters high, and if you straighten it out, it's probably, I don't know, maybe 20 meters long.
Right.
Yeah. So we built a waterfall in that as well.
Right.
You know, which is really cool. So we've got the macho ferns that are draping down, and then above that we've got the cyathia, the Kalgoorlie Gold.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just it's mint.
Yeah, and so a unit like that at that size, what sort of water would you be?
So our holding tank is about 350 litres.
Okay.
That gets topped up. We lose about, through evapotranspiration. So we lose, it tops up probably about 40 litres a week.
Right. So it's not, you're not talking a lot of water here.
No, not talking a lot of water. No. Yeah. It's awesome.
And is that a continuous drip? Coming through,
that was a major, and it still is a learning point, and how much water you can
give them.
Yeah. So, you know, we've just tried a saloon philodendron at the base of a wall, and we just keep getting rot because the water would sit longer at the base.
Right.
So that's not going to.
So there's the trials and tribulations
that doesn't get a Guernsey anymore. Yeah, you know, that can go up higher in the wall or something. Yeah. Or, Yeah.
So like all gardening and all gardeners, we're always learning something new, you know, every day of the week. Yeah. We find a plant that we think was going to grow there and it won't.
Yeah.
But, so you're in the, obviously it's a lot of trial and error for yourself.
Oh, it's all about that. And it's kind of hard because sometimes you just want to just ring someone up and say, how do I fix that? But then they're like, well, I don't bloody know. You're the idiot trying this on.
Yeah. And unlike the normal landscape, you can sort of hide a dead plant. But obviously, and
not when it's like,
not when it's on a vertical wall, it's pretty hard to hide.
Yeah, when it's at eye level, staring straight at you.
And are you growing your own plants?
That's the next phase where we're going. But what we do is, if a plant's not looking the best, we'll take it out, send it back to the it's like a, it's just a backyard basically, but it's a big backyard, and then we bring it back on, put a new one in, and then so we're sort of, it goes to the hospital, gets better, and then when it's ready for another game, we whack it in.
So you're not only building these vertical walls, but you're also maintaining them. Is that
part of
it's a maintenance is
100%,
and we've talked on this podcast many times how people love to have a landscape, but then they forget about maintenance.
Yeah, no such thing.
No, that's right.
You know, it's like,
so like everything. The day that you walk out after installation should be the worst day. It should be the worst it looks. It should only get better from there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes, and what I've learned is, obviously, so I've put a guarantee in. So if a plant dies, it's on us.
Right.
But we won't build a plant wall unless it's maintained by us.
Yeah.
Because
that's your guarantee.
Not only is it just I don't want to sound a bit over the top, but it's almost a bit of elite horticulture in a way because
as we were saying earlier, there's not too many people in Perth who are actually doing it on a full-time basis a regular basis, not necessarily full time. Obviously, you're full time, but I do. You know, the other people involved have got other businesses as well, or in the horticultural industry. Yeah. But you're backing up yourself just by purely doing this sort of stuff.
I mean, we've had. I've got maintenance staff that it takes a while to train them up.
Yep.
And then, you know, if they go or whatever,
you got to start again.
Back to square one. It's not like. It's, I don't know, it's interesting work, really interesting work. So we are looking fairly soon, we want to put some full-timers on,
right?
Even an apprentice.
Yep.
Because it's not just the plants, it's the construction side of it as well, so,
And how many people do you have working for you, Drew?
There's only three of us.
Right.
But I've got a string of subbies.
Right.
I've got sparkies, plumbers, chippies, welders, fabricators, that stuff. And I've had these guys for years and I'm just blessed that I've found these guys because even through the tough times, you know, you don't get shoved at the back of the queue. You get looked after.
They're looking after us. Huh? Yeah. Oh, that's good. You're giving them work and they're doing it for you.
Yeah, that time when, you know, COVID, no one could get trades. Yeah.
And these sorts of vertical walls, I mean, I've been to Singapore a couple of times. I've been to Europe a few times where you see them in France and things like that. And the climate's completely different.
Exactly.
We see them over here in Perth when it's, it's 42 degrees and it's a howling easterly.
Yeah.
Very difficult to grow it. And obviously we don't have regular rainfall that can help or even the humidity that helps these gardens grow. You've picked a very tough market. Is there any hints, if anyone, I suppose I'm just going back to people who might have a couple on their wall at home, or is there any sort of general hints or general rules of thumb that, you know, people who are growing these systems, not necessarily like yours, but like the bucket systems?
Well, you know, you can't rely on weather.
Can't rely on weather.
You have to just 100% reticulation.
Yep.
I mean, I'd give a plug to Hydrowise Hunter.
Mm.
They work off the bomb. So you can actually set your controller to, if it's going to be 40 over a certain temperature, it automatically comes on.
Right.
So that's all we use.
Yep.
But in saying that, you can still overwater it.
Yeah.
But, and again, it comes down to, what plants you're going to use to cope with that owl and easterly on a 45.
So plant selection is very important.
Massive.
Yeah. Like, and do you find that you're changing your plant selection all the time?
Yeah, all the time. So no two walls are the same.
Yep.
And then, we just, one of our, one of the last recent jobs was East Frio, where it was an east-west orientation, which means, and it was a parapet wall going straight into a swimming pool.
Right.
Which, you know, it was pretty cool that the client lived in Bali for years and they wanted a tropical garden, and it's kind of like, what the hell are you thinking? Like,
yeah, you're living in Perth.
Yeah, so what we did was we put frangipanis on the top of the wall, a lot of, you know, Kalgoorlie golds, and a lot of Xanadu, and they protected the understory, which was maidenhairs, all these really delicate ferns, right, and things, and the sun, and, you know, during that first summer it was in, we're getting 40 degree days. Oh, I couldn't sleep. But it paid off, you know. Because what we do is we've got, you know, dosing units.
Yeah. Do you have a mister around it as well? No, or is it only just fed from the moisture they're getting is from the back?
Yeah. Yep. And then basically after a while, it creates its own little ecosystem in there. And yeah, it's exciting when it gets to that. But in saying that, say you get a mechanical fault, dead in a week.
Mm. Yeah,
so
that's right.
We're working on the triggers. So, you know, with flow meters and stuff like that.
Yep.
But saying that,
you don't have a couple of really delicate plants like the canary in the coal mine that will show a few signs before everything else.
Actually, yeah. There's a couple we use. We were using fatsias at one point, and they'd just wilt off for some reason. I mean, obviously, we take a lot of the soil off, they're not holding on to much except for what's in the foam and the felt. But yeah, it's pretty scary when you start seeing them droop.
And what sort of pump do you use in
this? So we use submersibles.
Yeah. Like a small irrigation pump, or are you looking more like fish tank pumps waterfall tank?
Yeah, something with a 6 meter head on it at least.
Right. Yeah.
Or if we're going bigger, we'll use a centrifugal.
Yeah.
You know, where it sits outside of the tank. Yep. And it all depends on how big they want to go. Mm. You know, like I'm a bit wary, like the guys at Deep Green did Verdant there. Apartments and on the outside, you know, that west face, really high up. I think, I take my hat off.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. So getting, you know, it's usually always a gravity fed system, but I don't know much about that system.
Yeah.
So my system, we've got to pump water up.
Yeah.
And it's not.
So is it pumped and then gravity?
Our water doesn't run to waste. Right. Because we're catching the water. We've got to pump it back up
the top. Yep. And is it in a holding tank up the top, or is it it's under pressure?
No, it's all below.
Yeah, right.
So the lower the...
So you're pumping under pressure through all your irrigation pipes that are in there?
All through our solenoids and...
Yep.
It's, it works.
Yeah, great. You touched that you do maintenance, and I know I had a friend of mine who lived in Singapore for quite a while, and some of the vertical gardens up there that are on, you know, 20-story buildings and thing, and areas that maintenance is really one of those things that how do you design something to make it easy maintenance? And as you get bigger and taller and higher and longer, well, these are the factors that actually you've got to build into that sort of garden, isn't it?
Totally. I mean, it helps when you're only paying $2 an hour for maintenance workers or whatever they do.
Yeah, but still.
I mean, I've been there a million times, Singapore. Yeah. I love going there and just checking out. But they've just got the weather. They've got the workers. Right. They've got the it's brilliant.
Yeah.
But I think... Where West Australia's coming into the goods is, like, a lot of the buildings I've noticed, they're planting the balconies with accessible garden beds, with smaller trees in them, and so you can get to the things and look after it rather than abseiling down the side of a building,
because then it becomes very very hard to look after if you're doing and a specialist job really you're doing that sort of thing.
I mean, they've got a lot of that over east where they're using cherry pickers and they abseil down and they do all that stuff. But
So besides your vertical gardens, you're also doing indoor gardens.
So we
is that a sort of indoor plant hire business?
We stay away from that. That's a game on its own, really.
Yep.
So we completely design and then sell on the design.
Right.
And then we do the maintenance on it.
Yeah.
So we've got some, you know, quite a lot of corporate clientele.
Yep.
And, you know, you can't mess around when it comes to
yeah,
you know, corporate clients.
Yep.
You've got it.
They're happy to pay as long as we get, well, get the job
it's
done.
Like, yeah. We had an issue with Uncle Nat's.
Yeah.
So it's like, get in there and fix it. It's kind of, you know, no worries. It's, you know, Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So you just do it.
Yeah.
But that's, I suppose, just part of the service, really.
And the design of the walls, is that you?
Yeah. Yeah. So I design it. I hand pick the plants on what's available.
Yep.
And it's all designed in situ. So we don't have modules where they're planted elsewhere.
Right.
And then put in, you know,
once they're
developed.
Done. Yeah.
So we say, you know, like a job we're doing now, we've just done the substructure, the tanks all in, everything. The walls go on and then the plants come up and then we just, well, obviously we work with we've got a design palette.
Yep.
And then we just work out, yeah.
Yep. So what are you looking for when you're in design? You're looking for waves through there or natural? Or could you have the corporate logo on it if you wanted
to? Well, we do that, but that's all part of like the lighting and branding that we get done with the sign writers and stuff.
Right.
So we've got quite a few. We did HBF. It's got theirs sticking out of the wall.
Yep.
All lit up.
So maybe you can rattle off a few of your jobs and people listening might want to drive around. I'm certainly going to take note and actually go around and have a look at them.
I mean, the weird thing is a lot of them are sort of you need access to.
Yep.
I mean, there's somewhere, and a lot of them too are obviously, you know, residential.
Yep.
Knock on the door.
Drew sent me around. Yeah. I'm his maintenance man. I'm just coming around and have a look. So you mentioned the one at Western Power in the atrium.
Yeah.
So that'll be publicly accessible.
No. So you've got to, I mean, I can get you in there.
Yeah, yeah. Is there any that's publicly accessible that people could see?
Not yet.
Oh, shrouded in secrecy.
Not yet. But it's definitely something I'd really like to get in in Perth somewhere.
So, Drew, you have a mobile unit set up that you can move around from party to party?
Yeah. I mean, we had – that was really popular.
Yeah.
But I've shied away from that section at the moment, so we're not advertising it.
Yeah.
We will get back into it. That would be great for the Perth Garden Show and stuff like that.
Just as a demonstration.
Yeah. And then also – demonstrate our new modules, which are herb based.
Yep.
They're friendly for your, you know, mums and dads and even restaurants.
Yeah, right. So they can have fresh herbs.
Yeah, well, I've trialled it and those pots that you get from Coles, with basil and all that. I mean, I had that living for about 3 months. You know how normally they last a week and you think.
Yeah. I'll go down and buy another one.
But it's cheaper than buying the fresh ones in the packet.
Oh, great. So,
And that all comes down to the lighting again. Lighting, retick, all that.
Yep.
And but you just put them in, pull them out.
Yep.
It's really cool.
And so it's fairly involved when we look at the lighting, as in grow lights. It's what
grow lights. So we've moved away from metal halide. Obviously, that was a bit of a panic station because no one was doing LED. And anyway, so now we've teamed up with a mob. We've got a spectrum control, so we can adjust the spectrum, whether we want it more blue or red.
Right.
Whether we want foliage, flowers, and it does work. It's brilliant. If we want fruit,
So it's high-tech gardening by the sounds, Ben.
Yeah, very.
Yeah, no, it's cool. And it's, again, it's early stages.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of like, it's, I don't know, I suppose I'm the guinea pig, really.
Right. You've put yourself in there as a guinea pig.
Few blokes that are trying it out.
Yeah, great.
But hey, I suppose...
You don't give it a go, you'll never know.
I just love it, though. Yeah. It's kind of because I love me plants.
Mm-mm.
I wanted to do something a bit different, and I can't do landscaping anymore because I need a back replacement.
Yep. So vertical standing upwards is better than kneeling down.
Laying pavers, yeah.
Well, that's great, Drew. And look... you know, all the best for it. It's like you said, there's only a number of people doing it in Perth, and you know, we're only a small city really, where we don't have the population of some of the other eastern states where you know you one job might be 10 jobs over there, but it's great to see someone else or someone actually taking something and running with it and giving something that Perth probably doesn't have a lot of.
Well, I mean, the Landscape Association, WA, I think it's brilliant. Don't have to be big. You know, this association can really bring in a lot of young talent. Yeah, you got to be passionate about it, and I think it's on the up.
Yeah, yes,
definitely,
most certainly is.
So yeah, I'll be keen if you want to learn
vertical gardens.
If you want to grow upwards.
Yep. We'll come and see. Well, that's great, Drew. Look, thanks for coming in. And I reckon there'll be probably people hunting you out just to have a look at some of these vertical gardens and being done around town.
It's on our website, o2plantwalls.com.au.
Okay.
That's probably the best way. Originally, I had my showroom, which was a restaurant and bar, but COVID pretty much destroyed that.
Yep.
And there's probably better ways to have a showroom than
a bar. Restaurant.
Yeah. Kind of going a bit overkill.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, you learned the hard way there.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, thanks for having
me. That's great.
No worries.
Thanks very much, Drew. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much, Drew.
And thank you to all the listeners.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Green Thumbs Up, brought to you by the Landscape Industries Association, WA, sponsored by Miniquip Hire.